be back. It's so great to be back. Let me just sort out my stuff. Alrighty. I can't believe it's been 8 months since I was standing up here for the very first time. It's gone so quick, and God has shown me so much. So, okay. Wow. I'm just going to pray that Holy Spirit would just come and fill this place. So, Father, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come, that our hearts would be so open to this message, that you would speak through me, Father, that it would resonate in people's hearts, Lord Jesus. And I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you would just speak to us throughout this next 40 minutes, Lord Jesus. Bring us revelation. Bring us divine revelation of who you are. And the more of you, Lord Jesus, I just pray for every person here. No matter what they're feeling, Father, they'd be so in tune. I call everyone's spirits to attention to hear the Holy Spirit in this place today. Amen. Okay, are we ready? We're ready. So, the title of my preach is Being Fully Convinced. And I have some stuff to share with you. And I was praying, God, what do I share? What teaching would you like me to bring? And I felt God say I needed to share an encounter that I had with him and what I learned from it. And it's kind of a very, very personal encounter with God. And so I just pray that your hearts will be open, ready to receive. So I want to take you back to the 24th of January, where as a house, we listened to a revival podcast. I think it might have been Brownsville Revival or something like that. And we just lay down the floor and we listened to this podcast of this preacher going absolutely nuts and just really feeling the presence of God and just starting to stir up a passion and hunger to see this in our own lives. And it was about an hour, and so we were all laying on the ground. And I remember listening to this preacher and how passionate he was and how fully convinced he was that the power of God would come upon the room. And I experienced like this crazy, crazy fire upon my hands. And I was like, God, what is this? And what is going on? Like, I've never felt this before. It's just heat, crazy heat. And I went back into my room, and in my room we had, as the American calls it, a closet. And it's like a walk-in wardrobe type thing. It's wonderful. I loved it. And this closet, it's nothing about the closet. It's just about the presence of God. We would go in this closet for our quiet time, and I have never been in a wardrobe. I felt the presence of God so strongly. And our closet was known, my roommate and I, our closet was known as like the glory closet, where you would just go in and experience God and be in there for hours and hours and hours. And we'd actually come home and find our housemates in our wardrobe crying, praying. It was wonderful. But I remember going back into the closet and I cried out to God, and this beautiful conviction came upon me of I am so hungry for this. I am so hungry to see revival in my own life. I'm so hungry to see the more of who you are, God. And God clearly spoke to me. He said, Abby, you are made for this, but you're believing your old identity. And until you start to believe your new identity, then you can't fully step into the anointing and calling upon your life. And you know those points in your life where God will bring you to a place and you know the decision you make, it's kind of like you either step into the call or you kind of just back off from it and just carry on how you are. This was a point that I knew was so pivotal to my life. I have never, ever, ever kind of had this fear of the Lord upon me before. And it wasn't like a horrible fear, it was a beautiful, loving fear of God. And I knew at that moment that I had to surrender and fully die to my flesh and say yes to this calling. And I didn't know what to do. I really didn't know what to do other than to say yes. And I remember praying, like, just bold prayers. And when you're in a desperate situation, you pray things that you don't even realize you're praying. And so I said to God, I said, God, I really want to be fully convinced that I can see revival. I want to be fully convinced that I am a new creation in Christ, that miracles, signs, and wonders do follow me, that I have the Spirit of Jesus inside of me, therefore I can go out and pray for the sick. Therefore I can go out and see people set free. And I remember saying, God, I don't care if you have to paralyze me to change my heart. I don't care if you have to convict me over and over again to change my heart. But I want my heart to be in the right position and to be postured so I can really take up the assignment that you're calling me to do and really run after it with the right heart. And yeah, that was, I don't know how to explain it. It was just a point that I will never forget, and it really has changed my life. 2 days after, I had the most radical encounter with God, and I wasn't expecting it. And again, my roommate was in the closet, and she was speaking in tongues, and I was just on my bed, and I suddenly lit. It was like the presence. It was like the presence just came under the door from the closet where she was praying and just completely filled our room. And people, our housemates would come downstairs, and they walked in, and they were like, oh my goodness, something is going on here. Like, they could feel the presence of God so strongly in our room. And you couldn't do anything. You just wanted to sit and soak in the presence of God. Like, it was just a place of, we just have to soak it in. It's not a time to pray. It's not a time to sing. It's not a time to worship. You just to sit there and just feel him and feel his love. I remember laying down, and it was about 10 o'clock at night, and we actually had a worship night to go to. And the power of God came upon me, and I was totally out. I mean, totally out. Totally. I couldn't move. I couldn't hear. I couldn't see. And it's not a fearful thing. I felt so much peace. I felt so much love. And it lasted from 10 o'clock that evening till 1 p.m. the next day. And I have never experienced God's power on a level like that before. And the thing was, God told me, he said, Abby, I heard your prayer. I heard your prayer. And I will change your heart. I will change your heart so you can be fully convinced of who you are, of who you are in me, and that you are qualified by me to carry out the assignment that I want you to carry. And I remember God showed me a lot in this time, and I didn't feel anything. My friends actually carried me to this worship night, put me in the car, shut my foot in the door apparently, didn't feel a thing. And I went to this worship night. I don't remember anything. I was just so in tune with God, so in tune. I didn't. All I could hear and all I could see was he was telling me and showing me. And I'm going to share just a part of what he told me, because I really feel like it's linked to what God's doing here. And God showed me that in this nation, the bells are ringing for revival, and the bells are ringing for an awakening, a new awakening. And I've been meeting a lot with people from this church this week, and there's so much hunger, and there's so much vision and passion, and it's just stirring up. I just feel it stirring up, and as I'm kind of looking out, like, I just see people so hungry for the more of God. And I remember before going to Bethel, I was so hungry. I didn't really know what to do with myself. I was just hungry. I was like, oh, I want them all, but I don't know what to do. And you can come into this place of striving. You can strive, and that's totally not what God wants, because striving completely drains you. But when you know that you are a son and daughter of the Most High, that's what you can operate from, your true identity, to receive more from God. And so this counter God said, the bells are ringing for revival. And Abby, you need to stand up and carry the torch. You need to ring the bell to say there's an awakening coming. And this is huge for me to say, because coming out the encounter, I was completely, fully convinced. And I've never been in a place that I've been so fully convinced that there's a move of God coming and that God is already working. But before, I was so, not crippled, but kind of under this fear of God was telling me stuff, but I was too fearful to share it because I was like, well, people might think I'm crazy, you know, I've seen some incredible stuff, and then people might question it. But honestly, I can come to a place where I'm saying I am fully convinced that God is moving mightily, mightily in the earth. And there's this invitation for us today to receive the more, to receive the more, even though we might not know what it looks like. But there's an invitation to receive the more and be fully convinced that God is reigning, that God wants every one of you to carry out an assignment upon this earth to bring his kingdom. And for too long, I know personally I've been held back by fear. And it's funny listening to the words that people brought in Springboard and in worship, that doubt is a huge thing also. John Wick said in Springboard, there's a wall. He saw like a wall and people were hiding behind the wall. And that wall needs to be broken down. Amen. That wall needs to be broken down. And I am so done with like the enemy putting fear into our lives and making the church hold back. Because we are the people that are meant to rise up as God's army and bring his kingdom. And we are meant to believe that miracles, signs and wonders do follow us. Amen. And that is a challenge. It's such a challenge. And please hear me out. I am not there. Just because I've been to Bethel, I'm not there. I'm still learning. And I think our whole lives will be learning. And that's the beauty of God, because there's always more. There's always more. And everything that God told me in that encounter was confirmed in Scripture the next day. I was so, so mind-blown. And actually, I didn't know really whether to share this encounter or not, but I sat in my car this morning before I came to Springboard, and I prayed, and then I was like, okay, God, I'm going to listen. And then these church bells rang. He's hilarious. He's so funny. He's not serious. Like, he is serious, but he's a fun God. He's such a fun God. I just feel so strongly, like never before, that we have to be so fully convinced that we are who he says we are, that we carry the Spirit of God inside of us, that we can be one, as John 17 says, with the Creator of the universe. We can be fully convinced that John 14 says, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things. Even greater things. That blows my mind. But I am fully convinced that it's true. Fully convinced that it's true. And I don't want to let fear hold us back anymore. We have a new church. I just see so many, when I was praying in Reading, I just saw so many people flocking to this church. And we have to be ready to say what we believe. We have to be ready to say we are fully convinced that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died on the cross so we could be healed, that we could be set free. So we could die fully from our flesh and truly live by the Spirit. And I want to live by the Spirit. Fear and doubt is just hooked up in the flesh. But faith is where we need to operate from. And Ephesians 3:20 gets me every time. I love the Passion Translation. It says, he will infinitely achieve more than your greatest request your most unbelievable dream and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all. Isn't that so exciting? That is so exciting. He will exceed your wildest dream. And this, I love this church. It's so full of vision, passion. And God will take that on, but he will exceed your wildest imagination. And I just, right now, I'm just hearing awakening, awakening, awakening. There is, like, I don't know how to describe it, but there is something coming. There is something coming. And actually, as I've been to Germany and South Africa and America, it's, you can see that there's something shifting right now in the spiritual realm. There's something really shifting. And God is truly working. And we have to be bold. We have to be so bold, because somebody said, this time that we're living in now is so urgent that this needs to be what we hold on to. The word needs to be around us constantly, because it's the truth. It's the truth. And it's what we need to hold on to, because it's God's word. And it's active and alive today. And being fully convinced that this can actually speak to us, that the word of God, you can speak the word of God and somebody will be healed. You can speak to the word of God and somebody will be set free. There's power in the word. There's power in the word. I'm going to share a quick story, actually. I wasn't planning to share this, but I think I should. Yeah, I'm going to share it. So I was leading, I was with another person, and we were leading two students from a church, and we were asked to just do some evangelism. And so we were walking down the street, and I was like, okay, good, where are we going to go? And I really felt the Holy Spirit say, go to this house, which was on our right. And there was like a load of drunk men outside. And so I was like, okay, let's do this. And so we walked in, and I realized that there were loads of women in the house, drunk, like they looked just crazy. I mean, their faces were bruised, and it was just nothing like I've ever seen before. And I remember feeling, as I walked in, just such oppression and hopelessness and depression. And I was like, God, how on earth are we going to shift this atmosphere? And we did it by the word of God, by the just proclaiming the name of Jesus, shifted the atmosphere. And I said to the students, I said, like, what is this? What is this? Is this a gathering? And they said, actually, it's an annual thing where people get together and celebrate their ancestors. So I was like, oh, great. I've just gate-crashed a party worshipping their ancestors. I'm not invited, and I've just come in. And by declaring who Jesus is, these people, like, sobered up. They suddenly said, we need to get rid of our alcohol. And I was like, that'd be such a good idea. That'd be a wonderful idea. And we just invited the Holy Spirit in and just said, Jesus died on the cross for you. We just preached the gospel to them. So simple. I mean, it was like a minute. It wasn't like anything like super, super long. And the whole atmosphere changed. Just by us standing up for what we believed in and being fully convinced that just by saying the name of Jesus could just shift everything. And I love how in Romans 8 it talks about, it says, for I am fully convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything nor any other created thing will ever be able to separate us from the love of God. And there was there was such a spirit of oppression on that household and in those people's lives. But being fully convinced that when we shared Jesus with them, that they could be set free, everything banished, not of God, was banished. It left. And the Holy Spirit entered, convicted their hearts. And in the end, I remember they asked us to pray over their house and over their children. And it was just such a privilege. And you could tell that their hearts had changed. And that's a whole generation right there that God will really start to work through now. And the only price we have to pay is fully surrendering ourselves and saying, God, I don't care what you have to do. Help me to be fully convinced of your word. Help me be so fully convinced that I am a new creation in you, that I can live by the Spirit, that I can co-labor with you. I can become a daughter of the King. I can become a son of the King. And help us to operate from our heavenly place. Because who knows, we are already seated in heavenly places. That's so hard to grasp, that we're already seated in heavenly places. But once we're fully convinced of that, it changes everything. It changes how you see things. It changes how you see people. It changes how you see the church. And actually, I felt like Isaiah 43 was what God wanted me to share about not looking back on the past or on the former things, but seeing that he is doing something new. I feel like the "don't you perceive it" part is so key. Are we perceiving what he's actually doing right now? And I really, really felt God say that what I have received from being in a culture, a revival culture, that I couldn't miss an opportunity to pray for people and give away what I received. And so if, I don't know whether the worship could just like, maybe you could just play some piano, but I really would like to do a time for people just to come forward. If you're hungry, if you want the more of God, if you want to say, God, I surrender again. And from this encounter, I've still constantly surrendered myself. I think this is like a process that we all have to do, just continually surrender, because it's so easy, as Mark said, to get distracted. So I want you to come forward, and please don't let fear hold you back. We've let fear hold us back for too long. And so if you just want to be prayed for another passion or a hunger or just to experience the more of God, then I want you to come forward. I want you to come forward and let myself and the elders pray for you, because I really feel like there's an invitation, there's a favor upon today where God is saying, church, I want you to awaken and see the new thing I'm doing. I want you to be fully equipped for what I'm about to do. So if you're hungry, if you just want the more, please come forward. I will stay here until everybody gets prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
We're going to need to manage this just a little. Can we just have these chairs away? Thank you. Take those first two rows. Move that property. I'm sure God can cope with this just for a moment.